If you think about a well-functioning economy, you have people moving around to maximize their own welfare and through that maximize the system, because that's sort of the basic tenet of market economics.
Migration is on the front burner these days, and we hear a lot about people moving from one country to the next, fleeing conflict or seeking a better life. But what about the movement of people within a country looking for better prospects or to save some money? In this program, economist Tam Bayoumi says migration patterns within the United States in recent years and rising inequality are tied at the hip.
Because I think we can see how this fall in migration does create pockets which really are hurting those left behind.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. And you can find Tam Bayoumi's research paper on migration and inequality titled Stranded at imf.org.
So are people staying put more than they were, say, 10 or 15 years ago?
Oh, yes, that's very clear in the data. There are lots of pieces of data about U.S. migration, and all of them show a very significant fall of the order of halving of migration internally within the U.S. in the last 20 or 30 years.
Wow, that's significant. And is the lack of mobility due to lower earnings, or is it more about higher house prices?
Well, I think there's a dual story here. So there's the question about why people in less well-off areas are not moving to places which are better off and where they might be expected to get a better job. There, what my results suggest is that the major incentive to go there due to higher wages is offset, and more than offset, by the costs of higher housing, which makes it difficult for people to move, particularly if they want to buy a house, because then they have to put down the deposit, etc.
So you talk about uphill and downhill migration. Explain what those trends are, and is one happening more than the other?
So what I call uphill mobility from less well-off places to more well-off places, I think the major driver of the fall in migration has been a rise in house prices. Relative house prices. So nice places with good jobs have become more expensive to go to relative to how they were 20 years ago. What I call downhill mobility from well-off places to less well-off places. There, actually, it seems that the opposite is happening. That is that the incentives to go to somewhere due to lower house prices is being offset by the disincentive due to lower incomes.
But if house prices are going up across the board, wouldn't that also happen in the poorer neighborhoods? And wouldn't this balance itself out, sort of?
Well, that's what you would think. And certainly, if you just ran a regression on migration and you just put in house prices and incomes, you'd find exactly that, that, you know, if relative house prices went up, then you get an incentive on one direction and a disincentive on the other. What we did was we got data on bilateral migration. So we got data on, let's say, going from Dayton, Ohio to San Francisco, and the reverse on going from San Francisco to Dayton, Ohio. And the key result that we find is that the effects of house price differences and the effects of income differences are very different for uphill than downhill movements. So that is why widening house price and widening income inequalities can cause a general reduction in migration. It's because it affects people moving to richer areas and people moving to poorer areas in a different way.
Mm. So if the problem is more pronounced in moves from poorer areas to more prosperous neighborhoods, what does that say about the changing nature of work and the types of jobs available in those wealthier neighborhoods?
Well, there are a couple of issues here. The first is that what's been happening over time has been increasing focus of highly skilled people in a few areas such as San Francisco, such as Washington, D.C., such as New York. and therefore incomes have been going up, we don't look at those kind of sectoral effects. We're looking at median incomes and median house prices. But what seems to be happening in practice is that people in poor areas are unable to move to richer areas and therefore better both their own circumstances and, even more importantly, the circumstances of their children. It's very, very well documented that the outcome of childhood is very affected by the kind of area you live in. So these have consequences, broad social consequences, and through those broad social consequences, potentially social effects more broadly.
And indeed, inequality is a recurring theme throughout your paper. Is the lack of mobility a product of inequality, do you think, or is inequality driving this trend?
Well, I don't think you can definitively say that there's a causation one way rather than the other. What you can say is that the lack of mobility stymies what you would normally expect. So if you have an area which is hurting and where the prospects are low, and you have another area which is doing very well and the prospects of getting a high-paying job are high, then in general, you'd expect people to move from the depressed area to the less depressed area. And that increase in the number of people would lower wages in the more prosperous area and raise wages in the less prosperous area. Therefore, there's a clear way in which falling migration would support rising inequality. Now, does that mean it's the only reason? No, of course not. I mean, there are many, many other things going on. But I think it is clear that this fall in migration is part of the story as to why apparent inequality is rising geographically as well as across people within an area. And both of those are going on.
And it seems that young people generally are less interested in investing in real estate or buying homes, and for a number of reasons. How do the demographics fit in to this research? Do you think that the demographics are actually exacerbating this problem?
Well, yes, kids are less interested in buying homes, but that's partly because it's a lot more difficult. You know, I mean, I think it's a bit like, why are they more interested in starting, you know, their own little businesses or whatever? It's because the prospects, if you go into a large business, are going down. So whether or not this is actually a change in preferences, or whether it's actually a change in circumstances which are then changing behavior, which is then interpreted as a preference, seems to me, as an economist, I tend to think that people's preferences don't change. What happens is that the circumstances that they face change. So from my point of view, I would have thought that this may be an explanation for what's going on rather than a deep difference. But certainly, I think that what's really important about this is it turns out that movements across the top 25% of cities in terms of house prices, that mobility has not gone down very much. That's actually stayed basically the same over the last 30 years. What's gone down really noticeably is movement, particularly out of very poor areas, and particularly out of poor areas, well, actually into everywhere, but in particular into richer areas. Now, this matters because if you've got a bright, able kid in Dayton, their chances of actually bettering their life is going down, because I think we can see how this fall in migration does create pockets which really are hurting those left behind. Mm. And lots of other economists have written about this in various ways. This is simply a different angle on the same issue. But I think that this question about how to aid those who feel trapped and stuck is very important.
So how do you see this playing out? I mean, should this trend continue, what do you think the long-term economic impact of it will be?
Well, if it continued, I think the long-term impact would be increasingly negative in terms of the fact that you would continue to sacrifice significant amount of potential output by misallocating labor. You're putting less good people into the positions, and that has a overall consequence for the U.S. economy.
So what are some of the policy recommendations that you make in this research that could potentially help increase mobility again?
Well, there are various policies that the government can do. One obvious one is to put more effort into both infrastructure and public transport, so you can widen the ability of people to come into an area. Equally, you can look very hard at land use regulations. There's a strong argument that even though obviously places like San Francisco are geographically limited, that nevertheless the land isn't being used particularly well. And then the other thing you can do is obviously support those areas which are less prosperous.
So this paper is very much focused on the United States, but inequality is a problem, growing concern in most countries in the world. Do you think by resolving the issues behind this lack of mobility that we could also be resolving to a certain extent the issues behind growing inequality?
Yes, I think although this study is about the US, I think you can see in much of the advanced world exactly the same phenomena. We know that migration has been falling. We know that house prices in the big cities have been going up very fast. We don't have the kind of detailed data in other countries, which is why this study is about the US. But the general phenomena is clearly one, as I put it in the paper, with prices are moving, not people. And I think that that's a very important thing to think about, because if you think about a well-functioning economy, you have people moving around to maximize their own welfare and through that maximize the system, because that's sort of the basic tenet of market economics. So if house prices are stymieing that to a significant extent, then clearly at some point some sort of intervention to reduce that loss of churning is both justified and would provide a better world for us all. Will it completely solve inequality? Almost certainly not. But, you know, together with retraining workers, together with changing the education system, together with all sorts of other things, because, you know, we are also in the middle of a technological revolution with very deep implications for the nature of the economy. But I think that helping to raise migration through whatever means really is part of the solution.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tam Bayoumi is a deputy director in the IMF's Strategy, Policy and Review Department and co-author of Stranded: How Rising Inequality Suppressed U.S. Migration and Hurt Those Left Behind. You'll find the paper at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, look for us on Spotify or iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. Thanks for listening.